Scripture this morning is Matthew, the 26th chapter, 26 through 29. You'll hear it in just a few minutes on this celebration. Recognition, honoring, affirmation, challenge. This moment of World Communion Sunday. He took the bread and he broke it. This body is broken for you. This body is broken. In the spring semester of my freshman year at Morehouse, I went to a party, as freshmen do. And I remember it was different because at these parties, all the freshmen went on a shuttle bus. Nobody had a car. So the shuttle would come in the parking lot that was between Morehouse and Spelman and pick up hundreds of freshmen and take us to a party where they could squeeze us dry, drop us back off at the parking lot, and we could get on with writing that paper. But what this means is that everybody went to the same party. That's what that means. And after a while, you get a little tired of seeing the same people. And this also means that because all these freshmen are going to this party, all the upperclassmen, all the cool people, were going to parties where the shuttle bus would not go. And that was the party you wanted to be at. Friends, on this Friday, I went to an upperclassman party. Come on now. I might have wore this tie, I don't know. So I had a different vibe about me because I was going to a different party. I wore a hat that day, you know what I'm saying? I just felt good. I sprayed cologne 2 times, you know? I had my first drink in life. My friend handed me a Long Island iced tea. I was afraid to go to the bar and get it myself. And so he went and got it for me and handed it to me. This all sounds right so far, right? Does this all sound like college? I collapse on the floor. An ambulance pulls up in front of the club for everyone to see, for all the upperclassmen to see, and carries me out. Is this what alcohol does to you? No. Says the cardiologist, it's the 24 Pepsis you drink every week. You have a heart condition. It's a floppy valve. Usually it's asymptomatic, but when stress, caffeine, and fatigue get involved, the symptoms start to show. I'm a freshman in college. Stress, caffeine, and fatigue. What else is there? I'm broken. The doctor says, you'll be fine, but you'll never run a marathon. Running a marathon immediately goes on my bucket list. 10 years later, I run a marathon. I run a second. I run a third. I don't see any heart condition, the doctors up here say. Every reprieve is a praise report, isn't it? After my third, I can't walk. My back. All of a sudden, when you take a leave to run the next day as training requires, and then you stop taking that a leave, then the swelling happens all at once. My spine is bent. Physical therapy, 6 months. Doctor, should my urine be this color brown? Blood tests every year now. 2016, your kidneys, something's up. Something's up. Are you drinking enough water? Nobody's drinking enough water. They got apps to tell us to drink enough water. Nobody drinks enough water. Don't lie to me and tell me you drink enough water. But I'm not drinking Pepsi though, Doc. Go easy on your kidneys, he says. Smoking, drinking, stress, animal protein. Now, I love a good anything. I love food, y'all. I love food for a full year, full vegan, except for pepperoni pizza and hot dog at baseball games. Those don't count. A baseball stadium is a sacred sanctuary. All the food in there is therefore kosher and holy. Now, I can eat that. Now, today, mostly vegan, mostly vegetarian. Numbers improve. I'm trying my best. This year, wrist sprain, doing nothing. Some of y'all said, welcome to getting old. MRI, degenerative cartilage. Back pain returns, chiropractor, doctor tomorrow, doctor. What's going on? This body is broken. If I said I have a complex relationship with my body, it would sound like a confessional, or I would simply be saying what everyone in this room knows to be true about themselves. These bodies, our bodies, are broken. Some with actual diagnosed conditions, losing abilities that you used to have even last year, and you can't do it no more. I hear all the old folks saying amen. The flights of stairs that you used to be able to go up and not even lose your breath. Now, I think I'll just wait for the elevator. Disabilities. Some of us think if we aren't in a wheelchair, we aren't disabled. Others with hang-ups that we've had for years, things that we see when we look in the mirror, when it's just us looking, things that we condemn. Condemnation that we receive from others that we decided we would keep, even though we got it a long time ago. Others with fear and trauma that lives in our bodies, matters of the spirit that play out in our bodies, because where else would they play out, church? There is no spirit without a body. Not in this life. We only have a spirit because we have a body. No wonder we eat for our lack of intimacy. We porn, we smoke, we shop. All of these are experiences of the body for conditions of the soul. This is how we've been taught to take care of ourselves. Sometimes giving ourselves over to those experiences until it becomes something more than a coping mechanism, but we realize that this thing does not love us in the way that we expect it to, the way that we need it to. No, the drug, the rush, the high, it feels so good, but what you gonna do when the thrill is gone? When the high comes down and the pain comes back? Take another drug for the high and it feels so good, but what you gonna do when the thrill is gone? When the high comes down and the chills come back. These broken bodies of meat and flesh and fat and skin and spots and wrinkles and warts and pains and aches. Bodies that betray us because they are doing nothing more than being bodies. God came in one of these bodies. For all the godding being done in the heavens, and that could have been done forever from wherever our all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipotent, omnipresent God could have done the godding that needed doing, God came in one of these bodies. For all the communicating through sacrifices and prophets, the prophets' bodies would convulse because it meant that God was entering their body. People thought there was something wrong with them. But to do the most important work, God chose one of these imperfect bodies. A finite vessel to accomplish the task of the infinite. A broken body. Who is this God when all of the other gods are doing cartwheels that this God, our God, wants to attempt a double somersault? And God in a body. Why would you attempt to God in a body? All these bodies do is betray us. Why would you God in a body? These bodies are broken. Who is this God that would join the world? Who, when leaving, would not disappear into the sky, but would let his body be broken. Let himself go through the phases of eternal life like we must all do as well. The phases of eternal life. Who on the way out, gave a ritual that invited our body to partake in, required our bodies to do this fully, and then, inside the ritual, put his body in this bread as a symbol so that we would remember and eat. In the thing that we do every day, eat. God showed up and said, I want to be there too. This is, when you eat, remember me. When you eat, remember me. Not just at this table, every time you eat, remember me. God, in the midst of what Emily Towns calls our everydayness, God in our everydayness, not God on our Sundayness, or God as a part of our Sunday best, but God in our everydayness. Because when Howard Thurman calls for the blend of head and heart, he is doing what Jesus did at this table. Using brokenness to call into our brokenness. He broke and said, my body, broken for you. Brokenness as the answer to... See, last week we talked about Jesus being abducted from Jerusalem to Rome. Any of y'all remember that? Jesus abducted from Jerusalem to Rome, and a brazen and successful attempt to convert Jesus from Jerusalem's zealot to Rome's chaplain. From being a critique of empire and someone here to rescue people from empire to being the chaplain of Rome here to sponsor the status quo of oppression. This happened in our lifetime. It is happening today, even now. What is lost once Jesus gets to Rome, however, is the importance of the brokenness. Oh, the brokenness goes away once Jesus gets to Rome. Jesus is not broken. Jesus is a champion. You can be a champion if you believe in Jesus too. There is no brokenness once Jesus gets to Rome and gets to America and gets to us. In Rome, it is glossed over, the brokenness. The brokenness is something to be overcome. Pray that God will end the brokenness, because if you're still broken, there's something wrong with you. Oh, we are taught that, but in Jerusalem, on this night, brokenness is part of the work. It's not separate from the work. It is included in the work. Brokenness is how it gets done, church. All in that room that night are broken bodies. And broken minds and broken spirits for all kinds of different reasons. One who knew he had already betrayed them. Broken bodies. How dare we curse what God has used for sacrament? God invites us into our brokenness, which means you don't have to be whole to come to this table. That's the good news. You don't have to be whole. The point is not to have it all washed away by the blood of Jesus or fully healed or to be used by God. The triumph is that in our brokenness, we are still invited. That is the triumph. That God left the work inside of our brokenness and said, let's go. Let's do the work. I'm excited about you. Come on, let's do this thing. Jesus, me? Why? I'm broken. Exactly. Not that we wouldn't seek healing. Not that we wouldn't seek justice. Not that we wouldn't seek wholeness. Not that we wouldn't try harder about the things we're struggling with. But that after we accomplished everything, after everything we wanted to do and set out to do in this world, we actually accomplished, guess what? We would still be broken. We would still be about to die. God looked at us and said, "This is good." In Genesis, God looked at us and said, "I like this." Good enough to be a container for God. Good enough to continue God's miracle-making progress on the beloved community even after the cross. Good enough. Why do we seek a perfection for ourselves that God doesn't even require of us or ask of us? God does not say it, we say it for ourselves. God is not thinking about perfection, yet we condemn ourselves because we are not. Of this, we must repent, church. From this, we must turn away forever and love what God has made. Love what God has made. Enjoy what God has blessed. Honor what God has said is good. Wherever that condemnation comes from, it does not come from God. Brokenness is not the opposite of goodness. And God needs us because it's right in this ritual. Jesus is not coming back. That's the whole answer of the ritual. I'm not coming back until this is fulfilled. Like, this is on y'all. This ain't about Jesus, will you fix it for us? No, it's Jesus saying to us, "I know you're broken. So am I." It is an invitation in the midst of our brokenness to be mindful of our brokenness and in some ways thankful for the opportunity that our brokenness provides us. Can you imagine that? To be thankful for the opportunity that our brokenness provides us, for what our brokenness teaches us, and for what it makes possible for us. Everybody hear me okay? Chuck, if you could turn me up. There you go. I was thinking about you when I said it. This is an invitation to share in the brokenness, with our brokenness. About 7 hours ago, they worshiped in Nigeria's Gombe state. This is where Boko Haram has terrorized Christians for over 10 years, has burned churches and villages, has killed people, has kidnapped girls, to partake in the brokenness when we are simply thankful to be alive. So many times when we come to this table, it's not about thankfulness, it's about let's get it over with. 10.5 hours ago, Sri Lanka's churches began worshiping. This is where on Easter of this year, 3 churches and other buildings were bombed simply for being. 12 hours ago, they worshiped in Bangladesh, where extremists are right now attacking free thinking. 12.5 hours ago, they worshiped in Myanmar. 6 hours ago, they worshiped in Angola. 1 hour from now, they will worship in Guatemala. Right now in Colombia, right now in Chicago. They read the same scripture and they pray or sing something and they share in the broken bread that sustains us all. They are our family. This is the word of the Lord. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it. He broke it and said, "Take this and eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup. And after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink from it, the fruit of this vine, until that day when I drink with it new in my Father's kingdom." The Lord's Supper, not the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper for all of God's people. Come and eat. Our own brokenness, broken bodies, broken spirits. We are mindful of these things right now. Or maybe we're mindful of the brokenness of someone else. A brokenness I must share in more fully, even if it's my family member, especially then. Maybe we are mindful simply that I am broken and I am good. I am broken and I am beloved. Not I am broken, but I am good. No, 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 no buts, no buts. I am broken and God invites me to this table. This is God's table. Take a moment, and when you're ready, come and eat.